I don't see him here. Maybe he's out. No, there he is. But I wasn't feeling well last weekend. Cold, I think it was, and kind of came away, and now it's trying to come back. But I'm sure Joel felt real sick last Saturday night about 6 o'clock when the phone rings, and I go, "Joel, I don't feel good. Help me." And but thanks to him for filling in last week. I'm sure he did a good job. Because Art said, yeah, kind of, you know. But I know Joel did, because he told me he'd already been studying, reading this and studying it, so he was already prepared. And I'm sure it was a great discussion about the government, right? It's always a great discussion in church. we're in chapter 14. And if you remember, we talked about chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. We're dealing with the Christian life. Paul is breaking down the various attributes of the Christian life and how we should function. Okay, so it was pertinent to talk about dealing with the government, because that's something that we have to do in one way or another. And so now he's getting more into the discussion of how we should deal with one another, brothers and sisters. And so can someone read verses 1 through 9, please? Okay, so Paul's addressing the Christians in Rome, and there's two different groups of people, right? We've been talking about this whole time. The Jews that have converted, and then the Gentiles that have converted. So what obvious situation is Paul addressing here? Okay, differences in culture. What specific examples does he give here? And why would they be important or relative? Yes, Jack. Their faith. Their faith, okay.
I think also that there's at least two things when I think about the Jews. Even Paul was anxious to get back to Jerusalem after Pentecost. So Jews had certain specific holidays and certain meats that they would not eat. And I think Paul's addressing that should not be, that's not a thing,
Okay. Joel made a very important point. These are matters of opinion. Okay, to the Jews, they were not going to eat any meat that had been sacrificed to any sort of idol. To the Gentiles, did that matter? Steak is a steak, right? You know, let's eat. It's time to eat. So there's cultural differences between these groups. They're matters of opinion. Are they matters of scripture? Okay, no. He's going to deal with that here in a while. Okay, but with respect to what he's addressing here, it's not a matter of scripture. Do we have these issues today? Like what? Sir? Okay, let's make it more general than that. What about the carpet or the paint color on the walls? Have we had arguments about that in the past?
We had, there's an instance here with people I'm discussing now, people no longer here. When they designed the plans for the building, this back room was a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a kitchen in the building.
Right.
So they took the plans and brushed out the kitchen and wrote fellowship room, and that's fine.
Right. Right.
And
I think every congregation has dealt with that little anomaly right there, is what you call a room. Really? I've never known that, but. Okay. All right. I do remember. The first place I ever went to church didn't have that, so. But I don't remember, Millis. I don't remember if we had a stove. I don't think we did that first place I went to. The next place we did, it was, they've got a full size basketball court now. So, Tom. But, you know, but arguments like that, you know, what color carpet we're going to put down, what are we going to paint the walls, you know, all sorts of things that are there for expedience or convenience. We can get in lots of discussions about that stuff, right? Okay. What does Paul say here to do? How are we supposed to handle these things? Excuse me?
Not to judge.
Not to judge, okay. All right. But we still have to deal with them, don't we? Right. And so, Brother James?
Then you just have to go to the scripture.
Okay.
And find, is this acceptable or not? And get as detailed.
Okay.
Scripture about any particular text.
But congregationally, how should it be addressed? I mean, if it becomes that big an issue, how do we deal with it? Okay, but I'm looking at practical methods to bring it out in the open, Polly.
Have a vote with the congregation or something.
Okay.
An open meeting.
Okay, an open meeting. Tom?
Let the elders handle it. That's why they're taking all the people. I would just so you know, we need to give ourselves a raise.
Okay. We can talk about it from the pulpit. I mean, the elders can say, look, David, you know, here's this issue. Let's have a lesson or two or whatever it takes to discuss this, you know, and let's start trying to not adversely change someone's opinion, but let's talk about, you know, what's real and what's not, you know, and we've got a responsibility not to cause a weaker person to sin because of this, but we certainly can help them feel. Right. Okay. And so we've got to talk about those sorts of things. Yes, sir. Exactly. So, you know, maybe there would be an issue that we'd want to focus on specifically, you know, in a Bible lesson. Were you going to say something, Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So how does Paul say we should address these things? We should, whatever the issue is, he says we're supposed to be doing these things for God, right? So if I'm all in a panic because they want to change the carpet to blue, which is would be a pretty color, you know, but let's say it's yellow or whatever. Okay, she doesn't like blue. You know, crimson red is the scriptural color. You know, it is. I'm just trying to make a point in all that side stuff. I forgot what I was going to say. You know, when it becomes a point of contention for me with anyone else, what am I being? What is my attitude? It's selfish, right? Paul says, do all these things for God. So if I have that attitude, I'm not going to be selfish. So it doesn't really matter what the color of the carpet is going to be. You know, it could be, you know, like Logan's have peanut shells on the floor, you know. We could have buckets of peanuts on the ends of the aisle and, you know, throw that down on the floor. Although my wife would not, I know that. So, that's Paul's point. It all comes down to what's good for God. So these arguments of what color the carpet is or the walls or what you call the room back here, you know, that's got the stove and the refrigerator and the sink and everything in it, you know, if that's not for the good of God, then we shouldn't be arguing about those things. So that's the bar that has to be looked at. Millis. Okay. Right. Green. Wow, we have never seen green. Yeah, that's a great way to do it. Joel.
You know, but that is serious matter. Now, there are within the church
Mm-hmm.
And that's all right. That, you know, there's nothing dictates other things. You know, I know there's a congregation across the river here that on Sunday morning they have Bible class, worship service, lunch, evening service, and you go home. You know, it's all one combined service. That's fine. That's not the way we do it. But are we going to divorce ourselves in this country because they choose to do it that way? So I think where we've got to be careful is, one, when your opinion becomes doctrine because it's your opinion, and two,
exactly.
His opinion is, well, in my opinion, we can have this confusion. Let's go to the Bible. Let's stop.
Right. Right. And Paul's going to get to that here shortly, okay? All right. Any other discussion? Will someone read verses 10 through 13, please? Thank you. So Paul cautions us against judging a weaker brother. Why? What's inherent in the concept of judging typically? Okay, it's... Is it okay to ascertain the status of one's, I should have thought about this question earlier. I don't know if I'm going to put it right. Let's say we have a new convert that comes in. Can we ascertain the status of that person's faith and knowledge as opposed to one of you older guys or ladies that's been in the church forever? Now, you can ascertain. I mean, they certainly don't have probably the faith and the spiritual backbone and knowledge that a new convert may have. Doesn't mean that they're any less of a Christian, though, right? And that's a matter of ascertainment, of finding where one is. What's inherent with judging, though? What typically comes along with judging? Okay, if I go to court and the judge says you're guilty of murder, okay, even though my mother may say, oh, he's a great boy, you know, like they do nowadays, you know, he didn't mean it, but, you know, let him go, but you know, there's some condemnation, there's some adverse action that's taking. Okay? And Paul warns us against doing that, even to the point of not doing something that's adversely going to affect that person's faith, that weaker brother's faith. Okay? All right. And what's the other reason? What's the other reason we shouldn't judge someone? Am I perfect? Well, James says I'm not, but you know. Are you perfect? So you were just ascertaining, right? Right. Okay. Right. Right. Do we have the tools to judge?
Absolutely.
Do we have the tools to judge? Do we have the tools to judge spiritually? Okay. Okay. All right.
Well, you have to take what you think is wrong, lay it right down beside the scripture, and then you make a judgment. That's a righteous judgment. And it's according to John 7:24.
Okay. Right.
However, I can give you what the judge says he's going to do. You know, however, I'm not the judge. This is what the judge says.
And that's a matter of edification, right? Of teaching, of admonishing. That's not a matter of judging. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
There's so many people in church that do just, and that's one thing that will run a new person to Christian office. You have people that go to other churches, and you want to tell them they're going to go to hell. They're going to look at you as a cult.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
And I don't feel like we're capable or should do that. I'm not God, and I can't say, yeah, you're going to go to hell.
Right, because God may have other plans, right? I mean, but from what we read in the scripture and what we know about their practices, we can ascertain that we don't think they're going to go to heaven. But again, it's up to God to make that decision and send you wherever he wants. It can lead to bad things. I agree with that, David. Okay. Any other comments? Again, what does Paul say to do in these situations? Because he's not dealing with scriptural matters here. It's matters of opinion. What does he say for us to do? Excuse me? Okay. All right. And he tells us also not to put a stumbling block in front of them, right? In whatever way we might try and accomplish that, you know, we should not be doing that. Okay. Yeah, it makes a good point to me.
And it takes time for these people to understand, and it takes a lot of effort from the congregation, but you can't just do this by yourself. They're asking the best help to, if you really be sincere, really want, they're not trying to judge the people, but you're more skilled in your operations. But I guess you're going to trial, but you're wanting to skill in the right way, I think.
Okay. So my next question was, how do we know what the stumbling blocks are? And I think that's where you're kind of talking around. How do we know what they are? How do we know so that we don't put those stumbling blocks in front of them? Well, one is either obvious, right? You know, it could be an obvious situation. Or two, if it's not obvious, do we have a responsibility to get to know that person well enough so that we don't put that in front of them? Okay.
It takes time. It's something you can't do overnight.
Okay.
It takes a lot of time. Some people take longer than others. Yes, they question
But they've always been there. The world's always had plenty of false preachers. And we have more access to, with the internet and cable TV. I mean, there's more access for the interaction between the two. Bob? Right.
That's how you make a team successful, a company successful, a church successful, any type of organization. I'm not saying that's the total responsibility of the leadership here, but for all of us to have that possibility to remove any other obstacles that might prevent someone from ultimately going ahead.
Okay, so let's take that team concept, and you're right. The head of the team, the president of the company, or what have you, or the organization, I mean, he's got to want to do that, but can he do it for each individual person? The answer is no. So it's got to be a culture, a mindset within the organization that I'm going to help my teammate or whoever be successful. You know, and if I see they're having a problem with something, you know, I go, you know, look, this is what you need to do. This is what we're after here.
And my thing is, if I have someone that I know that they need to be, become a real Christian, which, I go to an elder and ask for help or something like that, and try to find a way to do the right thing and scare this person away to bring them back to Christ.
Right. So it really takes some patience, right? And isn't that what God has had with us, is patience? Aren't you glad of that? If he's afforded that to you, should we not afford that to others? Now, will they get there? You know, how many people have come through these doors or any church, okay, not just here, in, you know, in a week, a month, 6 months, a year, they're out the door and gone again. Whether they just walked in off the street or, you know, we also have the issue with those that grew up in a congregation that wander away. Okay. So, I mean, we have that in our families. So we need some patience. And, you know, being there to help them when they ask for it. Okay. All right. Will someone read verses 14 through the end of the chapter? All right, thank you, Joel. Okay, so Paul is going to further deal with how to accommodate a weaker brother here, and that carries over into chapter 15. He deals with the principles of our liberty in Christ, the priorities of our liberties in Christ, and the practice of our liberties in Christ. So verses 14 through 15, he talks about the principles of our liberty in Christ. What usually guides our actions? Deep down, everyday, just everyday living, what guides our actions? What convicts us, sir?
Probably opinions.
Okay.
But it shouldn't be. It should be what the scripture said is what we ought to be guided by.
Well, deep down individually, our conscience does that, right?
But it's got to be based on the right thing. Conscience can be based on something else.
But my conscience, is it the same as yours?
No, but they both should be the same in regard to matters that come before us because we have to go to the scripture.
So I'm gonna ascertain that you are a stronger brother, okay? Let's assume I'm the weaker brother. Is my conscience going to be the same as yours? No. I'm still more in a state of flux, of learning, of gathering, in experiencing, in coming to know what the scriptures say more fully, right? That's where I'm at. You're already there. Well, you are. I mean, I'm not saying that you're perfect, okay? That you've gotten an A on every test, okay? It's just a matter of fact, okay? Because you're older and you're more experienced and you've been doing this a lot longer, and so I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. But for the sake of argument, let's just say that. Is my conscience the same as yours? No. Okay. But that's typically what guides us in what we do, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's based upon what we've learned. Right, wrong, indifferent, our experiences, you know. Here's the stove, don't touch that. Oh, I touched it, it's hot, you know. I burned my finger. Okay. Our conscience says, don't touch that, it's hot. Check it beforehand. All right. So do I have a right to impose my conscience upon you?
You can't really.
No.
Because your conscience comes from within. That's not what your framework is in your mind.
Right. Okay. And I think that's what Paul's trying to get to here in verses 14 and 15. Okay. I know I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, okay? That's my conscience. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. That's his conscience, okay? For if because of food your brother is hurt, you're no longer walking in love, okay? Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Okay, so my conscience, in whatever it is, should not be hurtful to that individual. It's a matter of love. It's a matter of charity. Because it all still goes back to do what is good for God, right? That's still the guiding principle. Exactly. So, you know, if there's a big old plate of steak out there, you know, and you don't feel comfortable with being around that or seeing anybody eat it, should I sit there and just start chomping away? Probably not. Or whatever the particular, you know, experience is in today's life, okay? All right, verses 16 through 18, he talks about our priorities of our liberty in Christ. Okay, therefore do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who is in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by man. Do we emphasize or strengthen the case for Christ when we impose our will on someone else? No, not in the least. Okay, it's something that has to be experienced and come to out of free will, right? So if I push you to things, you know, that's not good. Okay. How are we supposed to show others what matters? What does Paul say here? Paul says what matters is presenting yourselves in a state of righteousness and peace and joy. When I'm imposing upon my conscience or thoughts on you, am I being righteous? Am I being peaceful if I force myself on you? Does that make you joyful? Does that make you happy? Does that make you go, oh yeah, this is what I want? This is where I want to be. Those people have beat me down into submission, and I know now. No. Right.
On your own, not my position.
Right. Right. You know, sitting, we had the two oldest grandkids last night, and you know, at the breakfast table this morning, you know, I was going to help one do something. No, I can do it. You know, leave me alone. I can do this. All right. I hear the Smith girls. So we'll stop right here.